The findings that we shared in the press release today is an outcome of a research trip we had in Esenşehir early June, when we talked to those who managed to flee of the fighting and the violence in West Darfur, in particular from Mestere, the town that we are addressing in the research, but as well people from other places, including Aginena. And the stories we just heard just throw you back to the early stages of the conflict in Darfur, in terms of how these attacks were very coordinated, the level of mobilization of the rapid support forces and allied armed militias, the killing of civilians at homes while they were trying to flee, simultaneously, systemically burning houses and looting valuables, destroying food reserves. I mean, many of the people we talked to in Mestere, they mentioned in the aftermath, I mean, just seeing what was a home for over 40,000 people, mostly from Masalit, just wiped out or, virtually being destroyed. We have been seeing the violence in West Darfur for quite some time, since 2019. And I think it's really the time for the ICC, which already have an existing jurisdiction to investigate Darfur with the referral of the UN Security Council. We urge them to look into the recent wave of violence in West Darfur in particular and investigate these crimes.
The RSF has denied ethnic violence by their forces in Darfur and the targeting of non-Arab peoples like the Masalit in West Darfur. We know that even the governor of West Darfur was kidnapped and killed. What do you think of their denial, and why do you think the RSF are the culprits here?
In the previous attacks in West Darfur that Human Rights Watch and other groups documented since 2019, there has been a significant role the RSF played in coordinating these attacks with the armed militias in the area. Witness accounts all establish very clearly the RSF presence in terms of individuals, in terms of vehicles, in terms of the heavy weaponry being used. So definitely the role that the RSF is playing cannot be denied. So that's at one point. And I think the second point, in terms of the ethnic targeting, we end up seeing that most, if not all, of the people who were killed are from the Masalit non-Arab communities in Mestere, as well to a great extent as well in Aginena. Witnesses talked about attackers uttering racial slurs during the attack as well. So while there is an ethnic component in the violence, we would not want to reduce this to just say it's an intercommunal violence. I mean, this violence has been there for some time, has been largely also triggered by localized dynamics, but also the dynamics in Khartoum.
From the crimes you've documented, from your interviews with the victims and eyewitnesses, what categories do you think fall under the ICC purview and jurisdiction? Is it like crimes against humanity, war crimes, ethnic targeting? What are we talking about here?
So, I mean, one of the key things about the determination or characterization of international crimes, it's really about the evidence that you find and the pattern you establish. I mean, at the moment, we could not, we do not preclude that the events in Mestere could form part of a larger trend of abuses in West Darfur. The evidence we have at the moment did not lead us to that conclusion. So we are going to continue the investigation to establish, whether that fits, in terms of, ethnic cleansing or war crimes or crimes against humanity. I think the legal framework that is governing us, that the outbreak of the fighting, there is an armed conflict in Sudan, and therefore many of the abuses could possibly be characterized as war crimes. And I think this is why the call for the ICC in particular to investigate, because they do have the authority, jurisdiction, and the resources to establish that in more of a credible manner.
What are your recommendations? What action are you advocating for?
So Darfur, for a very long time, and let's say in the last year, has been fallen off the attention of the international actors. And I think it's very urgent, affected communities do not have the luxury of, wait-and-see approach that the international community is still doing when it comes to Sudan. So, yes, we are calling on the ICC to investigate, but we are also imploring on the United Nations Security Council and the Darfur panel of experts to take actions, from identifying the perpetrators the most responsible of these abuses and roll out targeted sanctions based on their mandate. We're definitely calling on the regional and international actors to intervene to allow, you know, unfettered humanitarian access and assistance to those who remain in Darfur in particular, but also to increase the funding and the support to those who cross border to Chad, and they're still in Chad now. We're talking about tens of thousands in Chad in the last month. So definitely what we wanted to do is see a regional and international coordinated action to make Darfur and the plight of Darfur a priority in terms of civilian protection, in terms of accountability.